show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. It is the program, and it's our turn. Welcome back to the big show, Bucket Strategy Investing, and by sheer force of will, we've got more of the best in money information for you coming up this hour. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum joins me yet again from Lucia Capital Group. Got a whole mess of stuff to talk about this hour. It's sort of a potpourri of things. We're going to start it off with the rules of IRA eligibility, which means what? Well, specifically, things like who can contribute to an IRA. Can it be deductible? Sometimes it can, sometimes it can't. Are there limits on income in order to be able to deduct your contribution? Hint, yes. Also, just as importantly, who should contribute to an IRA? And you could throw the Roth into this mixture too. These questions are gonna relate to strategy, and so we'll be talking about that with you and Professor Plum in just a moment or two, along with a whole bunch of other stuff from this week, some leftover topics. As to your part in all this, well, right now it's a great time for you to ask your money questions. And the phone lines are open. 877-PLANNER, that's 877-752-6637. You can also head over to wealthed.com. You can send us an email or two or three. Click on the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. And either way, you'll reach the Brain Trust. You'll get your questions answered. Phone calls, emails, doesn't matter. We greet our Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group once again. Bring him back into the fold. Here's some advice for you right off the bat. You need to get a strategy. You need to get one that addresses each of your needs, one that aims to make sure it's done right the first time, and one that could anticipate what might go wrong and maybe provide you with some kind of defense against said wrong items. Call our advisory team at Lucia Capital Group at this number, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. You do need a bucket strategy, and the Brain Trust advisors will put one together for you. Talk to any of them about your financial future. Get your financial plan in order. Again, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So among other things that we're going to talk about, I'll get into this, some of the leftover college stuff that we didn't get to yesterday, Professor Plum. That's coming up later on this hour. But as far as IRAs go, we have two types mainly. You have the traditional type and you have the Roth type of IRA.
Right.
First of all, let's talk about who should consider a traditional or a Roth.
Well, you should be doing some type of savings. I mean, we talk about how we need to save more. The Roth and the traditional IRA are the easiest ways to do it. Now, whether you should be doing one or the other depends on a lot of different issues. Part of it is age. I will give that. I mean, the younger you are, the more likely you're going to use a Roth IRA. But then that has a couple of reasons. First off, the younger you are, the more likely you're in a lower income tax bracket. The younger you are, the more growth potential you have out of it, so you have a better opportunity to get better tax-free treatment in the future. So the taxes have an issue. Do I want the tax deduction for a traditional IRA? Will I even be able to get the tax deduction for a traditional IRA? And if I can't get the tax deduction, or it's not worth all that much to me because I'm in a low tax bracket, the Roth is a significantly better retirement savings vehicle. It's also a better savings vehicle for other issues too, maybe some education funding, maybe some emergency fund planning and things of that nature. Because of the flexibility that the Roth offers over the traditional, it is probably the default for many people. But if I'm in a higher income tax bracket and I can deduct the traditional IRA, that traditional IRA deduction, even though it's only a $5,500, $6,500 contribution, that can make a lot of sense going forward, depending upon whether I can deduct it or not. And that's the big question.
Yeah, it is. So first thing that you got to understand with the IRAs is, Professor Plum, before you can put any money into either the traditional, deductible, non-deductible, whatever it is, or the Roth, you need to have earned income that matches that amount. You can't just stick money in there.
And it has to be current earned income. We've had several questions about this lately,
yes,
about W-2s that showed stock option income from employment that I did back in 2008, 2009, deferred income from from non-qualified deferred comp plans, where I retired 3 years, 4 years ago, and I'm still getting a payout from my non-qualified deferred comp. It's showing up on a W-2, but is that eligible or is that able to support a current IRA contribution? No, deferred income doesn't count. It has to be current earned income, current for the year that I am trying to make the contribution for. So as long as I have current earned income, there is no lower age limit. Anybody, on regardless of their young age, if they have earned income, can potentially make an IRA contribution, traditional or Roth. Now again, the traditional has some issues with deductibility. There are higher income limits for whether you can deduct it if you fall into a certain category. There are higher AGI limits for the Roth IRA that make you ineligible to do a Roth contribution if you make too much money. So, but the age for a traditional IRA is basically zero through required minimum distribution age. As long as you're under your required minimum distribution year and you're working, you can contribute to a traditional IRA. There are no income limits on the top side for who can contribute to a traditional IRA. Bill Gates could contribute to a traditional IRA.
He makes a lot of money, does he not?
I think he makes over what most people would consider to be the limit for the IRA, but the limit is not on the contribution. The limit is on, as far as the ability to contribute, the limit is on whether or not you can deduct the contribution that you just made. That's where we run into problems for a lot of people. And it has to do with whether you are a participant in a retirement plan at work or not.
So, yeah, so let's take,
Single or married,
yeah.
Traditional IRAs, the deductibility of that traditional IRA. Anybody who is working and who is under required minimum distribution age can contribute to a traditional IRA.
Question is, can you deduct it? So let's take a single individual. First thing you got to know is, do you have earned income? And
right.
We'll say, yes, you've got earned income.
And let's
Next
say
thing
we have
is,
earned income over the limit, because if I only have $2,000 of earned income, I can contribute to a traditional IRA, but I can only contribute the $2,000 of earned income I have.
Yes.
The limit is 100% of my earned income up to the cap, which today is $5,500 for somebody under the age of 50, $6,500 a year for somebody 50 or older.
Right. Okay, so now you've got somebody who's making... making $60,000 a year.
Okay, they're $60,000 a year. At $60,000 a year, assuming they have basically standard deductions, they are in the 25% income tax bracket, even after taking away their deductions and exemptions. So they're looking at a 25% tax bill. So now, should they be doing a traditional IRA? Well, at 25%, they may very well be. Can they deduct it? If their adjusted gross income is $60,000, the answer is yes, they can deduct it. Because they don't start losing their eligibility for the deduction until their adjusted gross income is $61,000.
Mm-hmm.
Once that adjusted gross income, that's before your itemized deductions, your personal exemptions, before your standard deduction, once the adjusted gross income on the front page of your 1040 is over $61,000, you start losing the ability to deduct the contribution. Not the ability to contribute, the ability to deduct that contribution.
So for single people, it's between $61,000 and $71,000 for
right.
this year.
And just because you're at $62,000 doesn't mean you can't deduct at least some of the contribution.
What, can you do 90% of it at that?
You can do 90% of it. And it's not 90% of what I contribute.
No.
It's 100% of what I contribute up to 90% of my limit.
Yes.
So I don't want to do the math. 5,500 divided by, you know, 5.9,
just understand you're phasing out of it between, if you're single, between 61 and 71,000. Now, if you're married and you're filing jointly,
well, now you got
now you have a little complication.
Married filing jointly, if neither individual is covered by a retirement plan at work. Now, a retirement plan at work is a 401k, 457, 450, you know, 403b, a pension plan. Even if you haven't vested in it yet. You just started with the county. You have a pension plan that you're going to get if you work X number of years. You don't get any of it if you don't work for at least 5 years. You're still a participant in the plan. Even though if you leave too soon, you won't get a dime from that pension. You're a participant. They're making contributions on your behalf. You just have to live up to the vesting schedule to be able to get it. If you are a participant in any retirement plan at work, you have issues. If you are not a participant, and your spouse is not a participant in a retirement plan at work, it doesn't matter how much money you guys make, you can do deductible traditional IRA contributions. But what if one of you is in a plan? What if both of you are in a plan? A lot of people have dual income households. Both people have either pensions or 401ks at their employment. Well, then you've got to look at your adjusted gross income again. Where is the threshold? If you are covered by a retirement plan and you make the gross married filing joint adjusted gross income is more than $98,000, you start losing the ability to deduct that contribution.
That's right. And that goes up to, I think it's
118. It's spread out over a $20,000 phase out where the single individual is a $10,000
phase out. So understand that you may be able to deduct it, but if you make over certain income, if you're over the income threshold, you may not be able to deduct it. Okay, we got more to say on this, but if you've got questions on anything at all, you give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Lines open for you to call the Brain Trust when we come back. There you go. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Taking your calls right now, 877-PLANNER. All right, we're going to get to the calls right now, some emails a little bit later on, and we'll talk more about these IRAs versus Roth and that kind of thing. A lot of strategy to discuss with you today. Okay, we got a few Davids or Daves on the line. David in somewhere in Washington is first up this hour. Hello, David. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I'm trying to explain to my wife, when we put money into our Roth, she's asking why does it get taxed twice?
It doesn't.
To get that money, it's already gone through her paycheck, it's already gone through our Social Security and income tax, but yet when we put the money into our Roth, we have to declare it as taxable income a second time.
No, you don't.
Well, we have to put it in on our taxes, and it gets included as income.
You don't put it down twice.
Well, if it went through the paycheck, then it's already has gone in on our Social Security forms.
Right.
Our income tax forms in prior years. If we say that we put in $5,000 into our Roth this year, it gets added into our income.
No, it doesn't.
Are you really?
No, it doesn't. So let's say I have a job. I make $50,000 a year. And I don't pay any health insurance. There's no deductions on anything other than on my paycheck. They withhold some taxes, and they withhold my FICA taxes. And they tell me on my W-2 that I made $50,000 a year. So I take that $50 that I earned from my job, put it on the line that says wages on my tax return, right?
Correct.
Now, I decide that I want to take $5,000 out of my $5,500, whatever the number is, out of my checking account and put it into a Roth IRA. I take $5,500 out, put it in my Roth IRA. That doesn't show up anywhere on the tax return. I don't even tell them that I put it in. It doesn't show up again. I'm being taxed on the income that I made, and I use some of that income without getting a deduction, true, to put into a Roth IRA. But that income doesn't ever show up again. The $5,000 doesn't show up on another line, and they tax me at $55,000 instead of $50. I got taxed on the $50 I made.
Yeah, it's like putting money into it's the same result as if you just put the money into a savings account at the bank, or you bought a CD with it. You just call it a Roth.
I am not taxed twice.
But it's
on
not
it.
Taxed twice. Yeah.
Okay. Just when I do my income taxes, it says, "Did you contribute any money to our Roth?" And
right.
Then it says, "How much did you contribute?" And I've got to put that in on my tax form.
No, you don't put it in on your tax form. You put it in on a supporting report somewhere down the line. They want to know whether or not you've put money into an IRA or a Roth IRA. Because if I say that, I did put money into my Roth IRA, it actually never shows up anywhere on the 1040. But with the tax program, if I say that I put the $55 into the Roth IRA, it's going to stop me from putting money into a traditional IRA, because it's going to say, "Well, no, you can't do a traditional IRA because you've already done the Roth IRA." But it never shows up anywhere on the 1040.
It's being used to determine whether or not you're eligible to put more money in as a traditional IRA.
Okay, I'll tell my wife she's right.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You see, you should have told me that first off, that you were arguing with your wife, and I would have taken her side right up front.
Oh, you would not.
Okay, but thank you very much.
That's it, David. All right, thank you for the call. It's important, though, to sort this out.
But it is not taxed twice.
No, and what you're saying, again, this is important. I think he's talking about the tax software.
He is talking about the tax software, and they are going to ask you, have you contributed to an IRA or a Roth IRA? And if you say, yes, I put money into a Roth IRA, and then you want to try to put money into or deduct the traditional IRA, they can say, whoa, time out. You've already put it into the Roth IRA. Well, you can't use the same dollars twice.
No. Now, if you put only $2,500 into a Roth,
I still have $3,000 worth of room.
The software knows that you've got $3,500 worth of room. I said $3,500 worth of room.
Right.
Okay, I forgot what I said. To put either into a Roth or into a traditional.
Right.
And that's the only reason that the software asks. It does not show up on your tax return.
But for David, if he wants to, go through the tax return. Go on your 1040 and look at every line and see if there's a line in there, which there's not, that adds back in the contribution to a Roth IRA.
It
doesn't
do it.
Show up anywhere on the tax return.
Which I think is comforting to know. That's a good thing to know. But I'm glad he asked it because, hey.
What's not comforting to know is he has to go back to his wife and tell her that she was right.
Oh, that's all right. that's fine. Come on. That's a sign of a good, healthy marriage right there. Okay, Dave is next now in Las Vegas. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Oh, I was wondering, on your Social Security statement you get, it always says if you continue to work to your full retirement age, you get X amount of dollars. Well, what if you stop working at 61? Do you still get that full amount?
Maybe, maybe not. You're going to get really close to it. It depends on how many years of really good earnings you have. If you want to play the game, you can go into the website and tell it, you get a worst case scenario. How old are you right now?
61.
You're 6'1"?
Uh-huh.
So what you can do is go onto the Social Security website, ssa.gov, and in the lower center right portion of the page, there's something called the retirement estimate or the benefit estimator. Click on that and put in the information they're asking. They're going to want your mother's maiden name, your Social Security number, date of birth, state you were born in, things like that. And when it asks you how much income did you earn last year, put in zero. Now, even if you made money last year, put in zero. And what it will do is it will take that number, put it in for last year's earnings, this year's earnings, and all the way through the rest of your work experience or lack of work experience, and it'll give you a worst case scenario of what your benefit should look like at those specific ages, 62, 66, 70 years of age. So it won't even include this year's, next year's earnings. It'll still say if you continue earning, working at the number you gave us, the number you gave them was zero, this is what your benefit is expected to look like. It'll be very, very close. Assuming you've been working for most of your adult life, it'll be very, very close, if not the same number that you already have.
So it might only vary by $100 or something like that. Then.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
The
only time it'll have a very large difference between working 5 or 6 more years and stopping working today is if you came into the workforce very late. You didn't start working in the U.S. until you were 50. And so you only have 10 years, 11 years worth of work.
Do you have a long history of work, David or Dave?
Yeah, since about 12 years old.
Yeah, so you're probably not going to have an issue because they take the best 35 years of earnings. They inflation index them, take the best 35 years. If you've got 35 good years on the books already, 1 or 2 more years may not make any difference because it may not even be the best year you have based on inflation. So they're going to just take the, but if you only had 5 or 10 or 15 years and you're going to work 5 more years, well, that's adding a lot of income to your average. It's replacing a lot of zeros. You're not going to replace any zeros.
Okay. Well, thanks much. You guys always appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Dave. We get this question a lot because Social Security takes your best 35 years.
But they also inflation. You might say, well, I'm making a lot more money today than I did back in 1985.
Right, exactly.
But they do inflation index all the years prior to your turning 60. So that number that you made $20,000 in 1985, the reality is it's going to show up in your income as like $60,000 or $70,000.
It's inflation index.
Because they inflation index it up.
They index it as if to say what $30,000 was in 1982 and what it is, in 2016 or
right.
Whatever. So, okay, more to come. We have a third David on the line, so we're going to put you next in Miami, Florida. So stick around. It'll just be a couple of moments here. When we come back, don't go away. You're next in line. And we do have some other folks on hold. We're going to get to everybody. Just one line open right now. Grab it while you can. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Brain Trust standing by to answer your money questions, and we'll do it again when we come back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls. Get on board now, because we only have like one line open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Okay, let's move right along to the next David. This one in Miami, Florida. Hi, David, how can we help you today?
I got a question about combining 401k and IRAs.
Okay.
I figured I'd follow up on that same line of thought. My wife and I's combined income is about $165,000, which precludes us from putting any money into a traditional IRA. And I'm wondering if we can contribute to a Roth IRA.
Okay, the limits for contributing to Roth. And so I'm assuming that both you and your wife work, and both you and your wife are covered by a retirement plan at work.
I am. She is not.
Okay, you are over the limit as far as adjusted gross income for contributing to a traditional IRA and being able to deduct it. However, your wife is not. There is a separate limit for a married couple where one person is in a plan. You're subject to that limit I said earlier of 98 to 118. Your adjusted gross income is over that. But the person that's not in the retirement plan, as long as for 2015 we're talking about, the adjusted gross income is not over $183,000, the spouse that is not covered or not a participant in a retirement plan at work can have a deductible traditional IRA, as long as I've mentioned the income was under $183,000. Now, the limit for that non-covered spouse married to somebody who's in a plan is the same limit for the Roth IRA. So to be eligible to contribute directly to a Roth IRA, the adjusted gross income limit is $183,000 for 2015. It went up by $1,000 for 2016. So you have a choice. You don't have a choice. Your wife has a choice. You cannot do a deductible traditional IRA because you are in a retirement plan at work and your income is well over the $118,000 limit. Your wife, but you can do a Roth IRA contribution because your income is under the $183,000 limit for 2015. On the other side, your wife, who is not covered by any type of retirement plan at work, can do a deductible traditional IRA, or she can do a Roth IRA. So now you have to make a decision. Which one is more important to us? The deduction of that $5,500, $6,500 for my wife, or the non-deduction Roth contribution for my wife? And that's up to you. I might go with $161,000. That puts you in the 25, maybe the 28% income tax bracket. And so it is a bit of a tax benefit for that deductible IRA contribution.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, that answered the question.
Now, if David already had a couple $1 million in tax-deferred accounts, 401ks and things like that, I would definitely go with the Roth for both he and his wife.
For him and his wife on the Roth because?
Because they've already got a ton of after or pre-tax money coming out in retirement. Obviously, for him, the Roth is the best choice because he can either do a non-deductible traditional IRA, well, that stinks, or a Roth, which is a non-deductible, and that's good. So that would be very good.
Yeah, so if you're trying to decide, I mean, if you know that you want to put money into a deductible IRA, first thing you got to say is, do I have earned income? Yes, I do. Okay, now the question is,
do I have too much?
Well, do I have too much? But at the same time, you should be asking, you really probably should ask yourself first, do I have a plan at work? Do I have a 401k, 457, 403b, something like that?
Right.
And if the answer is no, it doesn't matter what you make.
Right.
Doesn't matter at all.
Now, he had the 401k. But there is this odd rule that says that if you're covered by a plan, but your spouse is not covered by a plan, there's this higher limit for that spousal contribution.
Yeah, which is 180. Well, for last year, it was 183,000.
Correct.
Of adjusted gross income. Now, if neither one of you is covered by a plan, both you and your spouse are not covered by a plan at work.
You can both do a deduction.
Right, and you could be making 300,000.
But if both of you are covered by a plan, then that 98 applies to each of you.
Yeah, so it's an odd thing, but that's how it works. Okay, we got still just one line open. Grab it now, 877-PLANNER. Let's move along to Christine in Roseville, California. Hi, Christine.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing today?
Good. I have a question. I have a IRA and a CD. It's about $23,000. I only earn, I'm 63, I earn about $23,000 to $33,000 a year, part-time work. And it was suggested to me to take $10,000 out of, and that IRA originally, by the way, is well over 5 years old.
Okay.
It was suggested by my tax guy to take $10,000 out of the IRA and put it into a Roth because my taxable income is still low right now.
Right.
Is that a good idea for you, to you?
Let me talk to you about a couple of years from now when you retire. You're no longer working. Where do you have a pension when you retire?
No.
Do you have, what other IRAs do you have, 401ks, tax deferred accounts do you have?
Nothing. I only have a couple of Roths and maybe two IRAs.
So when you retire, you're going to have Social Security.
Correct.
And then the distribution from this $23,000 from time to time. Is that right?
Yes.
I would not do a conversion. If I convert it now, I'm going to pay 15% on that. Let's say I do $10,000. I'm going to pay $1,500 in taxes to move that money over to a Roth IRA. But if I wait until I'm, call it even 70, and I take, you know, a couple thousand out a year, maybe $2,000, $3,000 out a year to supplement my Social Security, I will pay nothing in taxes. So I don't want to pay taxes today. Even though you're in a low tax bracket today, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket when you retire.
Okay.
So no.
So do I have to wait till 70?
No, you can take it out. When might you start taking some of this money out of the IRA to live?
I hope it would be 70.
Well, I mean, when you're 70, well, actually 70 and a half, you're going to be forced to take some money out of the IRA. But it's not going to be a huge number. You know, you're talking about maybe $1,000 a year mandatory distribution when you're 70 years of age. If the only income you have when you're 70 years of age is your Social Security and $1,000 or $2,000, $3,000, even $10,000 from an IRA distribution, you are not going to owe any income taxes.
Okay.
So paying taxes today, even though it's a low bracket, is still not the right idea when I'm going to be in a zero bracket later on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That answered my question.
Okay, Christine. Boy, I'm glad she called. Now, it's the person who recommended it was on the right track in the sense that you're
they were looking
lower
at today and today only.
Right. But to point out how every situation is different, this is a perfect example with Christine, because while the standard advice, and I hate to call it standard, but that's kind of what it is, of you're making less money now, you're in a lower tax bracket now, might be a good time to do some Roth conversions.
Or the idea that if you're in the 15% bracket, it's always better to do Roths and Roth conversions. Not always.
No, because if 2 years from now, you're going to be in a 0% tax bracket, why pay any tax at all now when you're going to pay zero later on?
Now, if she had told me she already had $400,000 or $500,000 in IRAs built up and that was going to come out later on, then the Roth conversion does make sense, because then it does have an issue, because that money coming out of the IRA 401k would create a tax on the Social Security, but now it's not going to.
Mark that down for discussion later. I like that. Janet is next, Sunnyvale, California. Hi, Janet. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you. I have a question about will the passive income affect the Social Security benefit, or only the earned income will affect the Social Security benefit?
Well, how old are you, Janet?
63.
Okay, and are you applying for Social Security now?
Yes.
Passive income from real estate and other issues where that is not earned income will not have any impact on your eligibility for receiving a Social Security benefit. So it is not part of the retirement earnings test. If you are eligible for $1,500 a month from Social Security, the fact that I have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 of passive income from real estate will not have an issue. I will still get my $1,500 a month from Social Security. What it will do, though, is it will determine whether or not the money I do get from Social Security
is
taxable or not.
How much are we talking about here, Janet?
Oh, I have like a passive income. Maybe I roughly estimate about $21,000 a year.
So $21,000?
Yeah, but my Social Security benefit is, you know, only like $810 a month.
So you're about $10,000 a year. You're not going to have an issue with the Social Security. It's at that rate, the Social Security is not going to be taxable. The passive income probably, unless you have other incomes from other sources, interest, dividends, capital gains, job of some sort, that you're not going to have much in the way of taxes, and this won't really affect anything. You're not going to have a problem.
I see. And I just wondered, because Social Security has the rule, it says if the income, you know, if my income changed, then I have to report to them. They're talking about all kinds of income, including...
No, they're talking about earned income.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Janet, if you want to hang on, I got to take a break. If you want to hang on, we will explain this, what this means when we come back. So if you can hang on a few minutes, great. If not, well, we'll talk about it anyway. So stick around, Janet, if you can. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. Lines open. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're coming right back.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
All right, so you've heard about the changes coming to Social Security, the changes that are here, in fact, for most people, and you're wondering about them. You're saying, gee whiz, how does this affect me? Does this affect me? I keep reading that I'm losing $60,000. Ah! Look, understand that it's probably not, if it affects you, there's nothing you can do about it. And if it does affect you and there is something you can do about it, well, that's a small subset of people. But learn all about this. The changes with Social Security. Professor Plum has put together this free guide on big changes coming to Social Security that are here. In fact, you can download this by going to our Facebook page. That's right. Facebook, search Wealth Ed. You'll find it there. Like us as well. You'll find it easier. And download the link. That's like one of the very first things at the top of the Facebook feed. Or you can also go to our website, wealthed.com, and click on that icon. Okay. Changes to Social Security. Or just call us here. I don't know. Maybe we can send it to you. I don't know. You never know. Worth a try. Okay, Kenneth, hang on 1 second. I just have to finish this up very quickly. We were talking with Janet on the earned income, Professor Plum. For some people who don't know this, earned income, when you're under full retirement age, currently age 66, will take away some or all, potentially, of your Social Security benefit, depending on how much you make and how big your benefit is.
It's now, an eligibility issue.
Right, exactly. Now, that's if you're under full retirement age, which is what she was. Janet was asking about not earned income, but passive income. We're guessing maybe from real estate, something like that. She had about $21,000 of passive income. Again, let's explain passive income and the type of income that does affect it.
Well, the type of income that we're talking about for the retirement earnings test is wages, W-2 wages, or Schedule C net self-employment income. Those are the only two. Passive income, you may be working your tail off for those rentals and repairing and doing everything, but that goes on a Schedule E, goes on a different form. It shows up as what they call passive income. It is not subject to Social Security taxes, FICA, and things like that. It is not considered an earned income. It's taxable, obviously. It's taxed at the same rate as wages. It just doesn't count for the retirement earnings test. And now, when you start receiving your benefit, they do say, let us know if your income changes. But they're talking about your retirement income, not your retirement income, your earned income.
Yeah.
And if you ever go back to work or you start going above the thresholds for the work-related retirement earnings test, they want to know about it because you're not eligible for your benefit. They want to stop the benefit as soon as possible rather than chasing you later to get it back.
Yeah, it's easier to do it that way. And if you do lose your benefit because of the work that you do, because of the earned income, you're not losing it forever. They're just going to increase it later on, give it back to you later on. All right, 877-PLANNER. Let's move along to Kenneth in Fort Worth watching on Biz TV. Hello, Kenneth. How can we help you today?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I got a question. I just retired. And I get a pension, and I also get a supplement until I turn 62, Social Security age.
Yeah.
We have a PSP program that I was in, which you were allowed to put a certain percentage of your income in up to a certain amount until you retire.
Okay.
And what I was wanting to know, I have a one-time option to remove this money and turn it over into an IRA or whatever, and if I don't do it now, I have to wait till I'm 59 and a half. Should I leave that money there or should I move it?
How old are you now?
55.
Will you need the money in the next 4.5 years?
No, I don't need it, but I was just wondering if I wanted to, say, invest in some income, some rental property or something like that. I wanted to have access to the money if I needed it.
Okay, so with the account that you have now, the plan that worked that you have now, the qualified plan, you have only so many options. If you don't like those options, moving it to an IRA can make sense as long as you don't need to touch the money. Now, you're 55. You retired this year? Is this the year you retired?
This is actually, I took a couple of vacation days. My first day of full retirement actually is April 1st.
Okay.
But I'm officially retired now.
But you've terminated employment in 2016, and you turned 55 in 2016 or earlier. Is that correct?
Yes, I just turned 55. And they said this is the only time, it's the only option that I have to be able to receive that money out of that account because I just turned 55.
Right. So what they're saying is that you can take a distribution from this qualified plan at work and not pay a penalty on it if you wanted to take it out now. If you do not take it out now, they may or may not let you take it out again. That just may be an administrative thing. But if you want to take some money out, what was that?
They said that you can't remove it again until you're 59 and a half. They had to have this option available there because we do have what you call a 30-year and out program, and that's what I'm retiring under. I have 35 years seniority, and I'm retiring under that option.
Right. So you have this. They're giving you one chance to take money out. Other than that, they're saying you're not touching it for a little while. That's just the way they wrote the plan. If you want to take the money out and pay taxes on it so that you have access to it so you can buy the real estate personally, you're going to want to take the money out now, but you're going to pay taxes on it. Or you're going to roll it to an IRA, and if you want to buy the real estate, you would have to then buy it inside the IRA if that's what you wanted to do. And you can do that as well.
So do you think it's a better option to go ahead and roll it over or just leave it in that plan?
How much money is it?
About $100,000.
I think taking it out now would be a very taxing experience. I think actually rolling it to the IRA, if they're saying that you can't touch it, if you don't do it now, you won't touch it until 59 and a half, and you don't like their investment options, rolling it to an IRA is your really only option. Roll it to the IRA.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Kenneth, thank you for the call. Yeah, once again, you are allowed, and you have to go along with what the plan's the plan says, but you are allowed to take money from your current employers that you just left at age 55.
Or older, yeah.
Or older, yeah, at least age 55. Able to get the money out, you have to pay taxes, but you don't have to pay a penalty on it.
But it's weird that they're running it so tight that says either take it now or don't touch it. I didn't think they could do that until 59 and a half. But hey, that's their game. They can do whatever they want.
You didn't think they would be able to say you cannot touch it
until 59. Federal government allows a one-time partial distribution of their TSP. And then the next distribution has to be in full. So they could say you can take it out now, but you can't. We're not going to give you partial distributions. We're just going to, you know.
But that's the federal government's plan.
Right.
That's not this one.
And that's the most restrictive plan I've seen.
Let's say Kenneth wanted to, you know, take it out next year and he doesn't care. He'll pay a penalty.
They're not giving him that option. But it's not a penalty. It's not up to them to penalize it.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make sense to me. It's not a penalty. They just say you can't get to it.
They're just saying administratively, we're not going to let you.
All right. We're out of time for this hour. Another hour is just ahead. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plummer, any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors about your retirement plan or anything that you hear or see on this program. 800-644-1150. The off-air number, 800-644-1150. That's right. Another hour just ahead. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.